Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning. This is Anne, and I'm going to continue to go through a book that I wrote, which is called Sound Doctrine. I started the first broadcast, actually was via Facebook, but I wanted to continue reading the book, and I'm on actually chapter 2, and this morning is going to be entitled A Brand New You. And so I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to start my Facebook Live right now as well. And so I'm going to be simulcasting using both Facebook and Blog Talk this morning. And I trust this will be a blessing to you. God's Word is a light to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. And thank God that we have His Word. His word will not return void. It is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit. So thank God for God. I'm going to go ahead and start now getting ready here with Facebook and with Blog Talk simultaneously. Again, this is Anne, and today we're going to be going through chapter 2 of my book, Sound Doctrine. And it's just a compilation of various aspects of the Word of God that is geared to help you to get grounded in the Word of God. And all of us need our foundation shored up at times. So I pray this will be a blessing. And let me just start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. Oh my God, you said we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. And we praise you for that. We thank you for the grace of God that's been given us through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the precious blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank you that you are God. There is none other. And we give ourselves to you today. We ask a blessing upon the listeners. Open our eyes, our ears, our understanding. Open our hearts to understand the height and length and depth and breadth of your great love for us, Holy Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, again, we're starting. Let me just verify, first of all, that that I have our live broadcast going on Facebook. I think we're starting now. Okay, and so we're starting now on Facebook, and again, we're reading from the book Sound Doctrine, and this is chapter 2, and it's the purpose, again, is to build our foundation in Christ, a brand new you, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ is God's ultimate gift of love to all humanity. You receive brand new spiritual life when you are born into God's family. To have this gift of new life, however, one must personally accept and receive it. Becoming a true born-again Christian is not the result of joining a church or following a certain code of conduct or giving intellectual assent to some religious dogma. In order for one to become a Christian, one must have a supernatural experience in which one's spirit is regenerated, that is, made alive. You must be changed from within. Jesus declared, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Jesus explained this to a very sincere religious man named Nicodemus when he questioned how he might obtain eternal life. Nicodemus did not understand how one could be born again. Did Jesus really expect a man to go back into his mother's womb and have another physical birth? Of course not. Jesus explained to Nicodemus that as we have a natural birth in the flesh to become part of the human family, we must also have a spiritual birth to become part of God's family. We need this spiritual birth from God to receive a new nature. This is because we were all born into this world with a sin nature. No parent has to teach his child to lie or to disobey. Sinning comes natural to us. Our natural human tendency is to rebel against God and his law. We all have chosen to go our own way instead of God's way, according to Psalm 14. Even good people need to be born again. Though most people believe that they are good people in and of themselves, God looks at the heart. Until one is born again, the motives of the heart are not pure. The human heart is by nature self-centered. It is filled with pride, self-will, unforgiveness, fear, unbelief, sins that are just as wicked as murder or adultery. The Bible declares that all have sinned. The penalty for sin is death and damnation. We were all destined for hell, that is, until Jesus gave himself as a ransom to pay for our sins with his own blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus purchased forgiveness of sin for every man, woman, and child. Does that mean everyone is going to heaven? Only if they will repent and believe in Jesus and receive him as Lord of their life. As it tells us in John, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born of God, that is, born again. Notice that one must believe and receive Jesus. Forgiveness is not through Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, or the Virgin Mary. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. One might think that sounds narrow-minded, saying that one can only get to God through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. It is a narrow way to eternal life. Not everyone who believes they are going to heaven are going to heaven. The key is, have you been born again? How? First, repent. Simply put, be willing to turn away from sin. Then confess your sins to God and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, that is, born again. Eternal life is a gift that you must receive by faith. You cannot earn it by doing good works. Your works are not good enough. For by grace, that is, undeserved favor from God, are you saved by faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of your works that anyone should boast. God made it so easy. Repent and believe. Believe that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for your sin and that he rose to life the third day. Then invite Jesus into your life to rule as your Lord. If you will confess Jesus as Lord of your life, you will be saved. What happens when you ask Jesus to forgive you of sin and to come into your life? His blood completely washes away all your sins. If we confess our sins, he is righteous and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. No matter what sins you've committed in your life, God completely forgives and forgets them. You are totally justified in God's sight, just as if you never sinned. He sees you as righteous because your heart is cleansed from sin by the powerful blood of Jesus. To God, you are just as clean as the driven snow. As he tells us in Isaiah, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. When you are born again, your life begins with a brand new slate. It's as if you were in a prison serving life for crimes that we had committed. Then the judge steps in, graciously pardons us, and completely expunges our records, even though we were guilty. That is what God did in the courts of heaven for us. We are forgiven and pardoned of sin. What an amazing gift from God. In addition to receiving full pardon of sin when one receives Jesus into their life, one also experiences a spiritual transformation. God takes out the hard heart of sin in your spirit and fills your heart with his love. He literally writes his laws in your spirit so that you have new desires and you want to do God's will. You become a new, born-again person in Christ Jesus spiritually. The old sin nature is replaced with a new spiritual nature that is alive and pleasing to God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are no longer Satan's servant. You now belong to God. You will start to notice changes in your desires. You will want your behavior and thoughts to be pleasing to your heavenly. Things that did not bother you, your conscience, before suddenly are noticeable. That is because your born-again spirit is sensitive to sin that you were blinded to before. You actually want to avoid sin because you recognize it is a trap from Satan to try to destroy you. Does that mean you're instantly perfect? No. Man is a triune being comprised of body, mind, or soul, and spirit. Your spirit is born again, but your body and mind have yet to be made new. The Bible says we need to renew our mind by washing them with the Word of God. The old negative, self-serving thought patterns need to be reprogrammed, so to speak, with the truth of God's Word in the Holy Bible. The more you read the Bible and connect with God in prayer, the more change you will see in yourself. As you follow your born-again spirit's desires, your mind and fleshly desires will be transformed for the better. That is called the sanctification process. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit's inner leading and instruction. Following the Spirit confirms that you are God's child and that Jesus really is the Lord of your life. As it tells us in Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you fall into sin, repent and ask for God's forgiveness. We cannot take his mercy for granted, but God will forgive if we repent of our sins and confess it to him. How can you be sure you are really saved? What if some of the initial feelings you may have experienced, love, peace, and joy, wane with time? We are not saved by feelings, but we are saved that we may or may not have had or experienced when we asked Jesus to be Lord of our lives. We are saved by faith. Faith is believing what God says in his word, and his word is truth. If you do what he tells you in the word, repent, and believe Jesus died for your sin, was raised to life the third day, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Just believe. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, who died for our sin, is born of God. These things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. That's in 1 John. Remember, we're saved by grace through faith. Have faith in God's word. God does not lie. Do not listen to Satan. He will whisper lies to your mind, trying to get you to doubt God. That is because we are in spiritual warfare, and Satan is now your mortal enemy. He will try his best to deceive you and try to turn you away from God. The good news is that you have authority over every lying spirit once you are in Christ. You can resist the devil, and he will flee in terror from you. The way to resist those lies is to declare God's word with your mouth. How can you stay spiritually strong as a Christian? There are several ways. Read his word. First, read God's word. This will literally build your faith. The Bible tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. The Apostle Peter admonishes us, like newborn babes, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Reading and heeding God's word is not an option. It is as essential as food and water is for our natural body. Just as a newborn baby must constantly feed on milk in order to be healthy and grow, so we must feed on the word of God. If we neglect the Bible, we will become weak and faithless. As Jesus tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Prayer protocol. In addition to reading God's word, we need to pray. Prayer means spending time talking with God. God loves to fellowship with us. The Bible tells us he delights in the prayers of the upright, just as a loving father delights in conversing with his children. There's a proper way to approach God in prayer, just as there is an appropriate protocol when one enters the presence of an earthly king. The Bible tells us, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Don't start with our gimme list when we talk with God. We must first give him thanks and praise for what he has done and who he is in our lives. Jesus gave us the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. We need to first acknowledge who God is and worship him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in the earth as it is in heaven. Then pray for God's will and purposes to be done in earth, especially for the salvation of all men everywhere. We're also to pray for those in authority that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life. Then he tells us, give us this day our daily bread. Ask for the needs that you have in your life. Note that this is not a greedy prayer of, give me this day five people's daily bread, but our daily bread. God often gives us much more than we ask or think as we focus on putting him first. But our prayer should not be self-centered or greedy. As a wise Heavenly Father, he will give us what we need when we ask him. And forgive us our debts, that is our sins, as we forgive our debtors, those who have sinned against us. Forgiveness is an imperative. In order for us to receive forgiveness of our sins, we must forgive others. If we will not forgive, we will not get forgiveness. No matter what anyone has done to you, it wasn't as bad as you by your sin, nailing the Son of God to the cross and causing him to taste of death and experience the pains of hell. If you expect God to forgive you of your sins, you must forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Ask God for guidance and for deliverance from any evil influence in your life. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Finally, give God the glory for all he has done through his power. Stay calm and pray. God's word tells us to pray without ceasing and to be anxious for nothing. As God's children, we have the privilege to cast all our cares upon him so that he can care for us. When we invite God into our life situations, those things that concern us, we have all the resources of heaven working on our behalf. Jesus is interceding for us. As we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost prays for us. Therefore, we know that all things will work out for our good, according to Romans 8. Don't forsake church. Our personal time with God in prayer and in the Word is so important to our spiritual life. But we also need fellowship with other believers. You are a member of a corporate body, the church. From the church, we get spiritual encouragement. We are admonished, do not forsake assembling yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The church is especially important to strengthen our faith. Christian fellowship can counteract the wicked influences of society all around us. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has light with darkness? Therefore, do not be partakers with them, sinners, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk like Jesus. We are to walk as children of light and not be conformed to the spiritual darkness around us. As it tells us, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The one who says he abides in him also ought himself to walk in the same manner as Christ walked. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Talk about Jesus. Finally, we need to be a witness to others about what Jesus has done for us. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus does not want anyone to perish in hell. He tells us, freely you have received, freely give. Give to others the good news of how they can be saved through Jesus. You do not have to be a Bible scholar to share what Jesus has done for you. The woman at the well in John chapter 4 was not a religious woman. She just told everyone about her encounter with Jesus. Then those in her city believed in Jesus. Don't be ashamed. We should never be ashamed of Jesus. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I also will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. He loved us enough to pay for our sins with his own blood and to die for us. The least we can do to live for him. Confessing who you really are in Christ. Because you are in Christ, you have a new identity. The Word of God tells you who you really are. As you read these truths and speak them out loud, it will renew your mind and produce faith in your heart. The following declarations are powerful spiritual weapons. Speak them out loud daily, and you will be strong in the Lord. I am not who you say I am. I am not who I think I am. I am who God says I am. Because I am in Christ, I am an imitator of God, Ephesians 5:1. I am redeemed from the enemy, Psalm 107:2. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I am forgiven, Colossians 1:13. I am washed, 1 Corinthians 6. I am saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2. I am justified, Romans 5. I am born again, 1 Peter 1. I am sanctified, 1 Corinthians 6. I am a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. I'm a partaker of his divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. I am pure, 1 Peter 1:22. I am holy, Hebrews 3:1. I am a saint, Colossians 1:12. I am in his hand, John 10:28. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. I am delivered from the powers of darkness, Colossians 1:13. I am led by the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 8:14. I am kept safe wherever I go, Psalm 91:11. I am getting all of my needs met by Jesus, Philippians 4:19. I am strong in the Lord and his mighty power, Ephesians 6:10. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3. I'm speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4. I'm set free from sin, Romans 8:1 and 2. I'm set free from Satan's control, Colossians 1:13. I'm predestined to be like Jesus, Ephesians 1:11. I'm forgiven of all my trespasses, Colossians 2:13. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. I am given a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm in God's family, Romans 8:15. I'm justified freely by his grace, Romans 3:24. I am kept from falling, Jude 1:24. I'm not condemned, Romans 1:8, 1 and 2. I'm on my way to heaven, John 14:6. I am his sheep, Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. I'm a citizen of heaven, 1 Peter 2:11. I'm protected from the evil one, 1 John 5. I am more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. I am healed by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24. I'm walking by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5. I am God's child, John 1:12. I'm God's friend, John 1:2, 1:12. James 2 and 23. I am God's temple, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:16. I am Christ's witness, Acts 1:8. I am Christ's ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5:20. I am God's beloved, Romans 1:7. I am God's precious jewel, Malachi 3:17. Because I'm in Christ, I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2. I have peace with God, Romans 5 and 1. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Because I'm in Christ, I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart. Therefore, I am patient and kind. I'm not envious or jealous. I'm not boastful or conceited. I am not inflated with pride. I do not condemn, criticize, or complain. I'm not rude. I do not insist on my own way. I'm not self-seeking. I'm not touchy or resentful. I forgive freely. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I do not rejoice in evil, but I rejoice when right and truth prevail. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. I'm always ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless in every circumstance, and I endure everything without weakening. God's love in me never fails. These truths will greatly enrich your life and strengthen your foundation with Christ. So thank you for joining me today as we read through the second chapter of my book, Sound Doctrine, a lot of good scriptures for all of us to read and remember. All of us need to take heed to his word and to continue in his word. You know, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. So trust this was a blessing for you today. And just meditate on his word. Listen to the word. Just read the word. Let maybe even run an audio tape, audio, CD, whatever, disc. They have so many ways, MP3 file, whatever. Just listen to God's word and meditate on it day and night, and you'll be prospered in everything you do.